Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. These summer months, we set aside our study of Hebrews, and we're going to take up matters pertaining to the family and to relationships. And Brother Logan certainly set the table quite well for that in our meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening. Thanks to all of you who were faithful to attend those services. I know they were a blessing to your heart if you were here. I know that they helped you. Look with me in Ephesians 5, just real quickly, verse 22, wives, verse 22, husbands, verse 23, husband, verse 23, wife, verse 24, husbands, verse 25, husbands, verse 20. Down to verse number 31, this call shall man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife. And verse number 33, every one of you in particular so love his wife. Verse 33, see the wife, she reverence her husband. So verses 22 through the end of the chapter are evidently, obviously, specifically relating to husbands and wives. None of that instruction is receivable. Is that the right word? Can be received. None of it can be properly put into practice if we just start at verse 22 when God started at verse 1. And so the statement that Brother Logan made on Tuesday evening is the one that I was prepared to make this morning, and that is, it's really hard to be a Christian husband if you're not a Christian man. Right. It's really hard to be a Christian wife if you're not a Christian woman. It's hard to be Christian parents and Christian children if Christianity is not the governing principle and influence of your life. And this isn't a one-size-fits-all thing. I could not stand this morning in front of a gathering of secular people and say, husbands do this and wives do that, because what God asks of a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, requires the participation of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, requires the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I would not offer any real hope for the outcome of relationships if you don't know and you're not subject to Jesus Christ. And yet, the Word of God is true wherever it is practiced, even by those who don't know they're practicing the Word of God. For generations in America, unsaved men and unsaved women got married and stayed married and had children and raised decent, God-fearing citizens. And none of them were saved, but they did what the Bible said men and women and husbands and wives and parents and children are supposed to do, and it works. So if the Bible works in the lives of people who don't even know they're obeying the Bible, how much more should it work in the lives of people who know Jesus Christ and profess to believe the Bible to be the Word of God? So my entire approach to teaching on any subject is that God makes us able to do what we could not do on our own. And God empowers and blesses those who are willing to be so empowered and so blessed. And so this morning and all throughout the summer, this is not a checklist so you can see, am I a grade A husband or a grade D husband? Am I the best wife in town or a mediocre wife? The idea is, look at what God can do for me if I allow the Lord to do what He wants to do in my life. I wouldn't think it would make any sense to just get married and not want to have a great marriage. I wouldn't think it'd make any sense to just have children and not want to be a great parent. I wouldn't think it'd make any sense to join a church and not want to be a great church member. And so some people, they when they hear the preaching from this pulpit, whether it's myself or the other men that stand here, they view it as, why are these men condemning me for not being this? You got a problem with your hearing. We are showing you what you could be and urging you to not settle for less when you can have the better. And that's the objective, is to aim high. And if you aim for the highest mark and you come a little bit short of it, you're way ahead of where you would be if you just aim for where you are. I don't want to come to church and not hear anything I haven't heard before. I don't want to be preached to and not be challenged to do anything I've never done before. I want the Lord to help me go farther and be better and accomplish more. And I believe God can enable us to do that. So this morning we're going to talk about what is necessary in our lives before we even get to the matter of the different areas of our lives where these things are to be put into practice. And let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, speak to me and through me this morning. Help me to say what you would have to be said in the way that you'd have it said. And Father, I truly ask and pray that you would bless all of our hearts here today. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right, so Ephesians 5 and verse number 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." I don't think any right-minded wife would have any problem being married to someone who is a dear child and follower of God. I don't think any man would have a real problem being joined into a lifelong union with a woman who was walking in love, the same love wherewith Christ loved us when he died to save us. I don't think there'd be any argument or contention whatsoever when the Bible says to the man, "I want you to be this in the relationship," and to the woman, "I want you to be this in the relationship." If the two people in the relationship were walking in the love of Jesus Christ as dear children, it would come easy to do what God asks us to do. We are sadly saying goodbye through these recent years. We're sadly saying goodbye to people who were in their 80s and their 90s. My mother, Lillian's mother, others that have stepped on into eternity. There's a quality that people of that generation possessed. Their entire lives were an automatic, not required, not requested, an automatic practice of, "What can I do for you?" And if I am doing something for you, I am happy and I am contented. We live in a generation today that is the polar opposite. What can you do for me? And if you are not doing enough for me, I cannot be satisfied, I cannot be happy. People used to look for a church where they could serve God. Now they look for a church where God can serve them. People used to get married so they could help one another have a great life. Now they get married so the other person can make my life great. The very foundation of Christianity, as you read about in Ephesians 5, Philippians chapter 2, the very foundation of Christianity is Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, gave up what he had so you could have what he has. That's Christianity. And this whole modern philosophy that it hasn't crept into our churches, it has stormed into our churches, that somehow I'm number one. No, I'm number one. No, over here, I'm number one. It nothing permanent can come of self-love and self-centered approach to life. Right. And so the Bible, before we ever get to a husband's treatment of his wife, a wife's treatment of her husband, a parent's treatment of a child, do we even understand the basic principle of happy, contented life? And that is, it's not about me, it's about the other person. And that's what you have in verses 1 and 2. Now, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, but fornication, movies, and all uncleanness, TV shows, and covetousness, commercials, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, internet garbage, or foolish talking, nor jesting, that's hero tales, bragging on yourself, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, here's an amazing thing. People object to preachers preaching righteousness from the Bible. And when you preach and say, God is 100% opposed to sexual relations outside of marriage, fornication. God is completely opposed to uncleanness, cursing, swearing, dirty pictures, pornographic webs. God's completely against that.
Who are you to tell me?
Now wait. You want me to tell your husband that? You want me to tell your wife that? You want me to tell your children that? There's a problem. When I object personally to God's standard of righteousness, I am very hypocritical if I would object to the members of my family engaging in those acts of unrighteousness. So I want the preacher to preach to my husband to treat me right, and I want the preacher to preach to my wife to treat me right, but I don't want the preacher to preach against all the dirty, filthy things in our society that displease the Lord. So here's what I'm asking. If fornication is a sin according to God, if uncleanness is a sin according to God, if filthiness is a sin according to God, why are we even talking about having good marriages if the man can't get rid of the pornography and the women can't get rid of the soap operas and the romance movies? If our influences are not God and His righteousness, if what we desire in our hearts is not righteous, pure holiness, we're trying to build a wonderful house on a rotten foundation. If I was a young lady, if I was the parent of a young lady, and a young man came and said, "I'm interested in your daughter. I'd like to pursue your daughter." The first thing I'd ask that young man is, "How much pornography have you looked at?" Because you might attend church faithfully, but you might be filthy. If my son was interested in a young lady, I would ask that young lady, how much of your mind is filled with what Hollywood showed you as love and what Hollywood showed you as relationships as opposed to what God set forth in the Bible? I would be afraid of someone who had been educated and trained and influenced by fornication, uncleanness, filthiness, foolish talking. So what we want is we want to have a good marriage when the persons in the marriage don't have good Christian character. Preacher, I'm going to bring my kids to Sunday school, and I want the Sunday school teacher to make my children into good Christians. Okay, how do we undo what they've been pouring into their ears all week? How do we undo what they've been pouring into their eyes all week? How do we undo the language they've been hearing in their home all week? You can't bring your child to the public school and not require your child to do their homework and be respectful and learn their lessons and then get upset with the teacher and the principal. And you can't bring your kids to church and say, "Well, my kid didn't turn out to love the Lord." Do you love the Lord? The Bible says in verse number 5, this, know that no whoremonger, an unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance to the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Okay, so you're not going to like where I'm going here, but that's okay. When I got saved, way, way, way back in the dark ages, the late 1970s, preachers spent their days listening to preachers. Cassette sermons. We didn't have internet. We had boxes, shoe boxes full of cassette tapes, and we listened to sermons. And we read commentaries on the Bible. And we read books about Christian living. And when we got together, we talked about Jesus Christ and the Bible. And then a thing came along. Not the Antichrist, not a false prophet, not an oppressive communist government. A thing came along called CNN, and then we were rescued from CNN by Fox News, conservative. And what happened over the course of 40 years is preachers stopped listening to preaching and started listening to political commentary. And preachers stopped studying their Bible and started studying the latest news of the day. And so now when Christians get together in a church, they talk about politics and government and world affairs. Your president and his family are not clean regarding their marriages. They are not faithful to their spouses. They do not honor their marriage vows. They will swap wives or swap husbands like you swap cars. That is not a round-the-clock influence that is going to help your marriage and your child raising to be godly. I don't want my child to be conservative. I want my child to be Christian. I don't want my marriage to be right wing. I want my marriage to be right. I don't want my family to be better than the far left lunatic left wing fringe. I want it to be what Christ wants it to be. Our examples cannot be people who are boasting that we're not opposed to sodomite marriage. God calls that an unclean thing. When our hearts and our minds are wrapped up in devoting ourselves to promoting the philosophies and the proclamations and the deeds of people who are not living clean Christian lives, we're settling for less than God desires for us in our life. And some of you looking at me, oh, how could he say that? Conservatism is not Christianity. Believing in God is not Christianity. Satan believes in God. That's not enough. I'm a person of faith. Everybody has faith. You've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If in the last 30 days, all the time Christians in America had spent reading about and listening to and talking about politics had been spent reading about, listening to, and talking about the Bible, the nation would begin to be great again. Oh, that, well, I was doing okay till I went there. Verse number 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So, look, this be real simple. Suppose this morning every man here who is married was married to someone who was good and righteous and spoke only the truth. We wouldn't need any counseling. Suppose every woman here who was married to someone who was good and righteous and spoke the truth. That pretty much put a stop to all the quarreling. Now wait, I'm good. Now wait, I'm righteous. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I'm not saying good in our own minds. I went to the scripture and found out how God defined good, and that's my standard. Righteous, not I'm right, no I'm right, I'm right, no I'm right. I went to the scripture and I found out what is right by the Bible. Praise the Lord. And truth. You hear this saying nowadays, I have my truth. No, you don't.
Right.
Well, my truth and your truth aren't the same truth, because neither of them are truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the truth. So watch this. If two men want to have a good friendship, if both of them are good by the Bible and righteous by the Bible, and speak truth by the Bible, they will have a lifelong, wonderful friendship. Amen. And so these principles are how should we say it, prerequisites. Some of you are in your latter years of college. I was talking to one young man this week whose birthday is today, and I'm not mentioning it because he doesn't need anything. He's got everything you get. Anyway, you go off to college, and there's four classes you have to finish in order to graduate. Well, why don't I just go and take those four classes? Because there are several years of prerequisite classes. We're requiring you to learn this before we will even allow you to study that. Because if you don't learn this, you can't pass that. Here's what God says. Now, I got a class here at the end of the chapter called Husbands. But you can't take that class yet. I've got a class here called Wives. You can't take that class yet. I've got a class here called Christian Relationships. But you can't take that class yet. Because you haven't yet determined what is good by the Bible. You haven't yet determined what is right by the Bible. You haven't yet determined what is truth by the Bible. Look, at this real, I'll give you an example that 5 years ago, you would think I was crazy to address what I'm about to address. There is not one person in the United States of America would have a single question about transgenderism if they just went by this book. Now, you can bring on 72,000 experts to argue their opinion on TV shows and bring in doctors and shrinks and medical professionals and healthcare this and psychology that, and that's pretty clear. God made a man a male or female. That's it. And men follow these characteristics. And if they don't have them, they learn to have them. And women follow these characteristics. They don't have them, they learn to have them. We'll get to that, how a man teaches a man to be a man and a woman teaches a woman to be a woman. And the Bible in our very chapter here says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth. So unless something's wrong up here, you don't chop your body to bits. But if you can't get something as basic as this is a boy and this is a girl, if you can't get that right without the Bible, what are you going to get right without the Bible? And so you're going to have under one roof a bunch of people quarreling and fighting and debating over their own versions of truth and goodness and righteousness. It has to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And if you get up in the morning and go to the TV and come home at night and go to the TV and all day long go to the secular internet world, you're never going to come to the conclusions you need to come to. to build good relationships. It has to be thus saith the Lord. All right, so verse number 11. Have no fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness, brethren, reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay, so I hate to even say this, because we're going to have three memorial services, funeral services in 1 month. So please, I hope I'm not being offensive in this. This morning, if we brought one of our loved ones in here in a casket and set that casket right in front of this platform and I preached the Word of God, it wouldn't do that person one bit of good. The Bible would have no effect upon someone who is not alive. You know what the Lord said? You got a Bible sitting in your house and you don't read it. You have available to you at the push of a button the finest preachers preaching the finest sermons in the history of the world, and you don't listen to them. What's the difference as far as your marriage is concerned? Your child raising is concerned. Your friendships are concerned. What's the difference if you're not breathing in a casket or if you're breathing and walking about the house not under the influence of the Word of God? Jesus Christ saves sinners. They have to receive it. The Holy Spirit takes control of people's lives. They have to allow it. The Bible can lead you and guide you into life more abundant than you could ever imagine. You have to want it. And the Lord says to people in Ephesians 5 who have been born again, wake up! The Lord says to people who have received Jesus Christ, get out of the darkness! Live in the light! I have a hard time expressing to you what I see from here, but it's the same thing that I see when I go out into the world. I see people who are obedient to the Word of God, who are very, very happy and very, very contented in their lives, and unhappy people say, I don't think the Bible's true. I don't agree with that. That's why you're trying to tell me what to do and how to live. Look how unhappy you are. Look how disappointed you are. Listen to all the complaining, all the bitterness. I'm going to turn on the... I don't go back to that, but... You know what the right-wing news is? It's all day long griping about the left-wing. And the left-wing news is all day long griping about the right-wing. How can you listen to griping all day and have joy? There's going to be enough wrong happening in my life. I don't need to tune in and find out what wrong is happening in everybody else's life. Tune in. Next up is a segment on the high price of groceries. I know! I don't need to listen to somebody else complain about what they paid for something. I had to pay for it myself. I'm way ahead of you. You know, a terrible thing happened just 2 days ago over in Armenia. Yeah, some bad stuff happened in our town too. Isn't that enough? Wherefore he saith to save people, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. All right, look, verse 15. I got to press along here, as there's a few people I haven't offended yet. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, circumspect, circumference, all the way around. I look over here, what do I see? Oh, there's evil over there. I look over here, what do I see? There's evil over there. I look back here, what do I see? There's evil back there. I look up ahead, what do I see? Well, I can't see it, but I suppose there's going to be some evil up ahead. You know what the Lord said? You're walking like a fool. Fool said in his heart, there is no God. We've had cattle, goats, one sheep, dumb, one sheep, a horse. We bought a piece of property that came with a horse. You want to know what it's like? If anybody here, I've always thought I'd like to get a horse. I'll tell you an easier thing. Just set $50 a day on fire. Once a year, go somewhere where they have horses and ride it. Anyway, horse will save you mowing the yard, though. It'll rip up every blade of grass you ever. Anyway, all those animals, here's what they have in common. They look down. They look over here. They look over here. That pig never one time looks up to God. You know what people you work with do? You know what your neighbors do? They look down, looking for something to eat. They look over here, money. Look over here, danger. Look over here, place to lay their head at night. They never look up. Yeah. Never. It's like there's no God at all. Like there's no God at all. You know what the Lord says? It's great. It's great. Get your Bible. Go to church on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. It's great to know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But are you spending your whole life like outside this building, there's no God? Do you have God in your car? Do you have God in your living room? Do you have God in your kitchen? Do you have God on your job? Don't live like a bunch of chickens or geese. Sure. Well, preacher, look at all this evil. There's evil everywhere. Well, how about look somewhere else? Look up. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Don't wait to get cancer to find out you're not spending enough time with your wife. Don't wait till your kids start wandering off out into the world to realize you're not paying enough attention to them.
Amen.
You only got so much time. You got work, you got job, you got sickness, you got maintenance, your kids are growing up, they're going to get grown. What are you doing that time? I've got this wife, I beg God for this wife. And there she is. And I'm going to ignore her and watch a game. I dated this fella, I'm sorry. I courted this fella, I'm sorry. I communicate with this fella's parents, signed a contract with him. And there he is. And I walked down the aisle with a big smile on my face. And there he stood trembling with a big smile on his face. And as I walked down that aisle, all I could think about was soap operas, chat rooms, Facebook pages. Really? So I married this man. I'm going to fill my days with everything but this man. I got these children. They're getting older. They're growing up. They're teenagers. Probably time is more important than a set of orders. Probably time is more important than waiting until the time has run out. And wishing I could start over again. Hey, you want to come over? No. You want to spend some time together? No. You want to go somewhere? No.
Yeah.
Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. The days are evil. Verse number 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I don't know too many Christians even consider what the will of the Lord is, but we ought to. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. They say alcohol is fun. They say alcohol leads to good time. They say alcohol, you know, helps you relax, and alcohol helps you get over your inhibitions. I tell you what else alcohol does. It gets girls pregnant.
Yeah.
It gets wives beaten.
Yeah.
It makes children go hungry.
Yeah.
It orphans children when cars cross center lanes and smash into oncoming vehicles. You watching that TV all day? You watching watching those movies all day long? You know what they'll show you? Everybody drinks is having a big time. The advertisements all having a big time. Mr. Kennedy, they say he's in charge of all this health and human services stuff now. He ought to make beer companies show ads of divorce courts and child custody battles and beat up men in bars and people passed out in their puke. That's what they ought to show. That's what they ought to show. You know what the Bible says? Every time you feel down, reach for the Holy Spirit, not a bottle. Every time you feel nervous, reach for the Holy Ghost, not a bottle. Every time anxiety sets in, reach for the Holy Ghost, not another beer. Amen. That's what he said. Trade one for the other. Young lady, I wouldn't marry a fella that touched alcohol. Young man, I wouldn't marry a girl that posted one picture on the internet of her with a glass of booze in her hand. I wouldn't do it. You say, why? Because whatever that drink is doing for that boy or that girl, God's Holy Spirit could do the same thing and better. But they chose the alcohol over the Spirit of God. How are you going to have a good home on that foundation? I just use it for cooking. There's a lot of stuff you can eat. Not keeping a bottle under the sink. Amen. Well, how's that? Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'd like to come home to a house full of melody, not strife. I'd like to come home to a house full of singing, not screaming. It'd be a blessing. I want to say something here, and have I not pushed your button yet? Because there's a lot of buttons on this control panel. Some of you young people really struggle with this. I guess I know why. I really don't know why, but some of you really struggle with this.
I just don't like this Christian music. I just want to listen to the secular music. Okay, here's what I want to know.
If you're a young lady, do you want to be married to a man whose life is the acting out of country music songs? Cheating songs, beer drinking songs, fighting songs, chasing women songs, barroom songs. Why would you find as your source of pleasure and entertainment and instruction people that are singing about things you wouldn't want in your husband?
Well,
I like that country music. I got the twang in it and steel guitars. I like good old rock and roll. You mean fornication music? Let's just spend the night. Let's just do it all night long. Let me just have you tonight. Let's just tonight. Forget about everything else. You, me, tonight. Really, you want a wife that's been trained by that? I would think if you listened to 10 years of Bible preaching every day before you got married, it would influence your conduct. I would think if listening to 10 years of music glorifying sexual sin before you got married, it would affect your marriage. We're not not talking about melodies. We're not talking about rhythms. We're not talking about beat. We're talking about the preaching that you voluntarily subject yourself to. Well, I don't listen to rock and roll. I'm into hip-hop and rap. That's what I want to marry. I want my kids to marry somebody who's been listening to 10, 15 years to stuff about shooting cops and assaulting women and putting your belt halfway between your waist and your knees. What if you came home to someone whose heart was filled with songs about love, redemption, salvation, joy, peace, goodness? You think that might have an influence on the home and on the family? The reason we want you to have righteous influences going in your eyes, righteous influences going in your ears, is because it affects your conduct even if you don't know it. If you had, right now, in your pocket, if you had what Coca-Cola spends in one day on saying, have a Coke, have a Coke. It's on the billboard, it's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's on the back of cars, it's on t-shirts, it's on ball caps. They pay these businesses. Would you put a sign up and you go in and sit down at a restaurant and there's a sign on the wall, have a Coke? You know why they're doing that? Because if you see it often enough and hear it often enough, you're going to do what they did in the South when I was a boy. You're going to say, I'd like a Coke, and the waitress says, what kind? And you say, Mountain Dew. Why do they call all soft drinks Cokes? Because they just drilled it into people's heads. You know what? I think we had some. You know what's in that box? Tissues. You know what people say? Hand me a Kleenex. Why? Because they just drilled it into your head. You know what the Lord said? Why don't you let somebody put Bible in your head and Bible in your heart? Why don't you listen to people sing about things that will result in good, solid, lasting relationships instead of things that are glorifying busted up relationships? Songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's suppose it was a marketplace. It's a marketplace. And I'm the salesman, and you come in and you say, hi, I'm Rodney, and I'm looking for a good wife. I said, I got a girl right here. Right here. Come over here. I got a girl right here. Look how pretty she is. See that? See how pretty she is? Look at that. Beautiful hair. Nice eyes. Show me your hands. See there? Look at that. She hadn't done a day's work in her life. Look at how pretty those, how nice those hands are. And he's getting out his wallet. He said, I'm going to take that one. He said, no, wait, I just got to tell you one thing. From the time she gets up in the morning till the time she goes to bed at night, it's just gripe, gripe, gripe. Look how pretty she is. It is so hot. I am so cold. You are so lazy. It is so, that preacher preached so long. And we've tried to reprogram this thing, but it just won't work. It's just non-stop complaining. You ain't buying that. I'll keep looking. I don't want that. And some of you guys, honestly, can we just stop with all the complaining? Can we just stop with all the negativity? Can we just stop with all... People say, I can't find a good church. Because you can't be happy no matter what happens to you. If you found the best church on earth, you'd gripe that you hadn't found it sooner. Yeah. Why didn't they come tell me about this place? They must not really like me. If they liked me, they'd have invited me a long time ago. There are so many things to be thankful for. I made up my mind 30-some years ago. I kind of violated all of it when the cancer thing came along. But I really and truly try to never spend time in prayer asking God for anything. I just want to spend all my time in prayer thanking God for what I've already got. Because I don't want a spirit of ingratitude. My poor parents, we used to do this Christmas thing. Y'all ever heard about Christmas? We used to do this Christmas thing. And they spend all this money and buy all this stuff. And we go out at that afternoon, Christmas afternoon, and build forts with the boxes. We had this little hill in front of our house. It's a Florida hill. It's about from here to Brother Fry and had a about a 3-degree slope. But you could slide a cardboard box down that hill, and we'd get in the box and slide down the hill a few times, and it got boring, and then you'd slide down the hill, and somebody tried to tackle you while you slid down the hill, and hit them with a wiffle ball bat. And all the toys are sitting inside. You go to your friend's house, what'd you get? I got this. I didn't get that. I'd rather got that than what I got. Now you say, what I should have done is not open any of it, stuck it in the closet, and sold it on eBay when I was 60 years old. Buy a yacht or something. But I would not want a house full of griping kids. I would not want a house with a griping wife and a griping husband. I would not want to go to church with a bunch of griping people. You know what people notice? I'm telling you, because I hear it. I get it in the emails. I get it in the text messages. I get it in the phone calls. They say, I've been to a lot of churches. People there are so happy. They're so joyful. We had the memorial service for Lillian's mother, and the funeral home people were behind us as everybody's going out in the line. And I turned to them. I said, it must be really tough to do this every day. Every day go to these funerals one after another. And the woman said, yes. But this is so different. Everyone here is so joyful and so confident. I don't see that. How can you not be joyful when Christ has washed all your sins away? How can you not be confident when the gift of God is eternal life and Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you? Listen, if I read to you, husbands, love your wives, and you're a griper, you are going to immediately say, well, let me tell you about my wife. And if I say wives, I'm not even going to say it this morning because we want to get off to a good start here, but wives, dear own husbands. If you love the Lord and believe the Bible, you say, sure, God, just show me how. Everything else you've asked me to do has turned out great. But if you're not thankful, God instructing you in the ways of happiness are a problem. So the internet. Yeah, y'all heard the internet? I get this thing called the internet. Do you know there are ladies all across America who cannot enjoy the ease and benefit of internet shopping? It's really sad. They say I want a new dress, and so they go online and they search through all the dresses and all the shapes and sizes and patterns and colors, and they pick the dress they want and they click on it, and there it is, the dress you want, and then it says size, and they click on the size, they get just the right size, and then it says add to cart, and they click on that, add to the cart, and it says put in your information. They put in all their information, and there it is, the shipping address, the item, the shipping address, and the payment information, and then at the very end it says submit. And they just freeze. They just... they can't hit the button. You know what? If they want the dress and they believe the dress is going to look as good on them as it does that model 20 years younger than they are. And if they trust that the beast is going to process the payment information, they gladly submit. Why? They trust the system and they want what it's offering. You know what the Lord asks? Men, ladies, just trust my system and want what I'm offering. And it'd be okay. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That takes us right back to where we started our chapter. You know what Jesus Christ did? He's the creator of the heavens and earth. He's the Lord of glory. He submitted himself to the Father. For your benefit, for my benefit. Now wait, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, he did that for the joy that was set before him. Christ said, my life, it's hard to imagine it being possible, my life will be better if I lay it down for others. In the long run, my life will be better for having done that. And what God is asking you to believe is that your life will be better in the long run if it's laid down for others. If we could get that principle in our heart, whatever the Bible has to say about husbands, wives, parents, children, employers, employees, all that, sure, God, put it in my cart. Can you get it here overnight? I trust you. I want it. And so that's our starting point. If I can be a Christian, I can have a Christian home. If I can't be a Christian, I'm going to have a home where we just throw verses at each other like weapons. That's not the idea. That's not the idea. So the Bible says, verse number 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. As Christ also had loved us. How did he do that? Sacrificing himself for our well-being. So how do we walk in love? We sacrifice ourselves for others' well-being. Amen. Heavenly Father, please bless your word to our hearts this morning. Please help us to believe these things and to act as though we believe them and to benefit from them fully, completely. Father, please help us, we pray in Jesus' name and amen.